We're able to come into a church one more time in a free America. Yes, sir. Thank God. Thank God for the grace He's given America. I thank God that I'm an American. Thank God. But more than that, I thank God that I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. It has absolutely nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with my Lord Jesus Christ drinking every one of my sins in that bitter cup on Calvary. He's been good to you tonight, whether you know it or not. He's on the throne tonight, whether you know it or not. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the crowned King of glory. He is the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He has a name written on His thigh that nobody knows but Him. His vesture is dipped in blood, and when He comes back, He's going to pull a sharp two-edged sword out of His mouth and make war with this world. I'm glad I'm on His side. I'm glad He knows my name. I'm glad that when I was in this chapter here, Ezekiel 16, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. There is no stronger word, probably in all of Scripture, as far as God using a word to describe something that He absolutely hates. Homosexuality is an abomination of God. Abortion and killing the innocent children of this country, the murder of a couple generations. I mean, totally wiped them out. That's an abomination to God. Pride and a high look. It's an abomination to God. He said, Ezekiel, stand up. I'm going to make your brow like an iron wall. Stand up. Cause them to know their abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem. And get the picture here. It's as if the Lord of glory is sitting at His eternal desk and musing on His people. He's sitting there and He's thinking about it. It's an amazing thing that the God we serve, He sits and He thinks and He ponders on things. It's as if He's sitting there remembering, walking through day by day the history of Israel. And what a rich history the people of Israel had. And their glory in the time of Solomon was unmatched in the whole world. The Queen of Sheba rightly said, the half has never yet been told Solomon. I thought I knew. I thought I understood when people told me how wonderful this Jerusalem is. But my, when I step foot on these streets, this city of God is unlike anything I've ever seen before. The people of God were the spectacle of the whole world. There's never, and their king, there's never been another one like him, Solomon. There's never been a man more wise, and yet there's never been a man more a picture and type of the flesh and failure in the flesh, Solomon. It's a remarkable thing, and just as a side note, it displays the fact that you can have all the wisdom in the world, that's not going to make you obedient to God. You can be the wisest man on planet Earth, and that is not it. You can be the most wise female. You can be wiser than Deborah ever thought about being. But without the power and indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God and the work of God wrought in your heart that only He can do, there will be no obedience to God. It's a work of God. It's something He does in you. By the power of God, by abiding in Christ. We have a better way than those Old Testament saints. They were saved the same way, but hallelujah! You've been sealed by the Spirit of God if you're born again. Inside the Holy of Holies is the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Working and molding and burning and beating and doing everything needed to make you and conform you to the image of Christ. It's an amazing thing. It's altogether supernatural. But hallelujah, He still calls you to pray. Amen. Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem. Remember, it's as if God Almighty is just recounting thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. You came, your background's altogether pagan. There wasn't much hope for you at the very beginning, at the very outset. You didn't have things other people had. You didn't have godly people. You didn't have anybody to teach you. You came from Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite. You know what that means? Your daddy and your mama were baby killers. They sacrificed children. That culture was so utterly detestable. My atheist friends like to ask me all the time, how on earth, why would a God of love command the genocide of the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and all the other ites in Canaan land? Why would He do that? If He's a God of love, why would He eradicate a whole people? And the answer to that is very simple. When God says something ought to be burned to the ground and destroyed, it ought to be burned to the ground and destroyed. And if He says that, if He rains fire from heaven, I can assure you, there is no other way. The God of heaven does not delight in killing people. But when something is utterly corrupt, like Jericho was, He commands and says, don't let that wicked place be rebuilt ever again. When God destroys something, it ought to be left destroyed. We ought not go back to the old ruins of our old life, step back there and start rebuilding brick by brick. And the people of God can surely do that. God forbid they do that, though. And as for thy nativity, in the mind of God, this is Israel. This is His people. These are the ones He's labored for. These are the ones He's fought for. These are the ones He's had mercy on time and time again. And God's recounting. He's looking back all the way to the very beginning, to the very first child, the very first one. This is the heart of God, uncut. The entire Bible is the heart of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. The whole thing is the revelation of God, of Himself to you. Amen. It's an incredible thing. In the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. When you were born, when your mother gave birth to you, the birth cord was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. This little baby has been born, and the parents of this child absolutely already despise this child. This is the baby that God chose. The first child. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. This little baby was not taken care of whatsoever. The birth fluid, the blood, the umbilical cord, the placenta, everything is still on this child, and the parents have absolutely no desire to love on this child. It's not wrapped up in the little blanket, the white and blue and red stripes with the little hat and cleaned off and held by a loving Father. This is the people of Israel. They are born. They are helpless. There's nothing for them. They are cast out. They are hated by their own parents, the one that's supposed to love them, the one that's supposed to give their lives to taking care of them. He didn't wash you. He didn't care. He cast you out. None I pitied thee. There was no pity. Nobody said, are you seriously? Are you not worried about that child? There was nobody. I don't know where you came from. I don't know where your travels in this world have taken you. But when I was born, I can say that I have a lot of similarities with this child right here. I didn't have the best start in the whole world. I wasn't born with a silver spoon or anybody to help. I wasn't born with anybody to teach me. And that might be a reality in your life. It wasn't born with the things that a lot of people have. The pity that should be given to any person brought into through the birth canal into this world. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Here's God recapping the birth of His people Israel, whom is shortly about to be used by God all over again. He's shortly about to call 144,000 to preach the gospel all over the world. It's going to be a tremendous thing. But as of right now, Israel's under a curse. She's blinded. And it's a terrible thing. This is the apple of God's eye. She is a princess in His eyes. And if you have ever read the Bible, you know that she is a princess that is precious in the sight of God. And anybody that's ever lifted up her hands against the people of Israel are in the boneyard of history, in the graveyard of history, never to return. They are God's people. They will always be God's people. And I don't agree with everything they do, but I know that the God of heaven, the one that keeps them, shall neither slumber nor sleep. His love upon them is unconditional, and it is from everlasting to everlasting. This is the epilogue of His love for Israel. This is the portrait. When I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Do you get the picture? This little baby is out in the field. And this isn't anywhere. This is in the middle of the desert. This is in the middle of the scorching heat. And this child is literally laying there in its own filth, screaming out with no one to help it. It's absolutely terrible. When I held my son, I fell in love with him. Both of them. And other people's children. But children are so precious. In this society, these Amorites and these Hittites, they were so cold and calloused against their own children. They loved their own lives and their own time and their own way so much that they were willing to take their little baby and throw it out into the field and leave it there to die. But there was a God in heaven. There was a God in heaven. He looked down and He saw that little baby laying there. And He said, when I pass by thee, and I saw you polluted in your own blood, I scooped you up off the ground. And I said, you're nothing in the sight of this world. You'll never be much in the sight of this world. But I'm going to take my rag and I'm going to clean you off. And I'm going to call you by my name. I'm going to put a jewel in your forehead and earrings in your ears. I'm going to wash you from all your filthiness. I'm going to give you a brand new name. You're going to be mine. I'm going to love you with an everlasting love. I'm going to give myself for you. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to show you that I care about you. I will stop at nothing. I will stop at nothing. I will love you to death. When I passed by you and I saw you down there in a pool of your own blood and I saw you crying out, there was nobody there to help you. I came by and I pointed my finger at you and I said, you will live. Live, child. Live. That's exactly what God did to me when He saved me. I was laying on my back in misery and shallows and darkness. But the Lord of glory saw fit when I was sitting on my coffee table in Spartanburg and I was charred down and in misery. I said, I've been in the same miserable hole all my life. I'm undone. I'm worthless. I'm miserable. Oh, that God would save me. Oh, that He'd help me. God reached down. I'm telling you, He came in that room. He came in that room, and I knew exactly what to do. I got down on my knees. I said, I don't know anything about you. I don't know anything, but I know you're here. And I just want you to help me. Please, God, help me. He saved me. He got me out of the cesspool I was in. He pulled me out of there. You know, 3 days ago, I saw one of my old friends, and he still hates God, and he's still the same, and he's got more wrinkles on his face now, and all the sin and devastation, and he still looked me in the face, and he said, I will never be a Christian. There's nothing you could ever say to make me a Christian. And I said, man, you already know. You already know God's real. Your conscience stands up and testifies and says, amen. When I say the God of heaven is real, your conscience knows it to be true. It stands up and salutes when I say it. You've chosen to believe the lie. You've bought the bill of goods. Man, I'm telling you, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. He'll save you. When I passed by you, I saw you polluted in your own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, when God says something twice, you better stop and think. It better be a Selah moment. When God says it twice, you better stop and think. When He says it three times, you better stop and spend a whole day right there. Amen. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. It's as if He imagines a great field. And Israel's a beautiful flower, shedding her seeds. And they fly on the wings of the wind, and they land, and more shoot up and sprout. And before you know it, in 100 years, beauty has sprouted up everywhere. God said, I multiplied you. I made you beautiful. I gave you everything. If it was mine, it was yours. I've caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxing great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned. Thine hair is grown. Whereas thou wast naked and bare, she is now exceptionally beautiful. God has in His mind's eye Israel. He's painted a portrait of a young lady who is stunning and perfect. Oh, you were naked. You were cast out and left for dead. But I came to you Now your hair's grown. I clothed you. Listen, verse 8. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee. This is the language of divine love. Christianity is nothing short of marriage in all of its splendor and all of its beauty. It has absolutely nothing to do with a dry list of to-do. It has everything to do with being involved in the most vibrant, fiery, passionate relationship you could ever imagine. Have you read the Song of Solomon? Ask James. He's the great James, the great theologian in the Song of Solomon. He calls me from time to time. Stephen, I got to tell you. Let me tell you. I'll put him on speakerphone. I'll go to mud in the wall. I'll be sanding, working. I'll be shouting with my mask on. Amen. He'll be on the phone for an hour and a half. Thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee. That is the language of marriage. You're mine. And covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Mine. This is intense. Don't overlook it. Don't skip over it. When you belong to the Lord God Almighty, you are enwrapped. You may not know it. You may not feel it. But you are loved with a passionate and furious love and a jealous love that He won't give to anybody else. It's all for you. People sell out so cheap this Lord of glory. He is the only one that can love you unconditionally every day of your life in the ebb and flow of all that you are and how you vary and how you're up and down and you have all your problems and all your quirks. God Almighty is the only one that can love you the way you want to be loved. He's the only one that'll be faithful to you. Come hell or high water, the God of glory is the God of faithfulness. And when He has said, "You are mine," He means it absolutely, positively, forever. And there's nothing that anyone can do to ever change it. It's incredible. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, shod thee with badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon your hands, a chain on thy neck. I put a jewel on thy forehead, earrings in thine ears, a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thou wast decked with gold and silver. Thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. Thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. This is a type of the church in America. God has given us everything. He has spared no expense. He has made us all exceptionally beautiful. He's given us everything we could ever imagine. But keep it in the context of this fair maiden. He gave her everything He possibly could. absolutely, positively, every single thing He could have done for Israel, He did. He gave her everything, and He loved her with a furious, passionate, jealous love. The love of God, it does not burn bright one day and begin to ebb the next day. It doesn't pulse. It burns brightly every day. It does not ebb and flow with time. When He says, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, He means absolutely, no matter what happens, I will keep my promise to you, and no exceptions. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter. I love you, Israel, because I love you. He said that in Deuteronomy. It's not because you were greater. It's not because you were something special. I love you because I love you. That ought to change you. He says there's not anything special. You were the least of all people. You were cast out, left for dead. And I swear unto you that I'd love you. I swear unto you that I'd give you everything I had. And I did. But what did she do? What hath Israel done? Listen, thy renown went forth, her fame, her beauty, her exceptional city, everything she'd been given was noised abroad. Everybody knew Israel is a maiden. She is the fairest among 10,000. And the shepherd has taken mighty good care of her. The Church of the Living God in America ought to back up right there and say, Hallelujah! He has done everything for us. We are the most protected group of Christians that has ever lived. He's blessed us beyond measure. There's been more missionaries come out of America than anywhere in the whole world. There's not been anyone more faithful to God's original covenant people than America. Even when she's doing crazy stuff, America's always stood by Israel. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty. Oh, the power of being exceptionally beautiful. The power of being handsome. She began to trust in her beauty to get the job done. She began to trust in her own devices. Listen, and playedest the harlot because of thy renown, and pouredest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. Every nation that passed by you, in the time of your splendor, in the time of your glory, you sold out. You gave your beauty to them. I did everything for you, and you took thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thy high places with divers colors. The beautiful garments, the silk, the badger skin, the broidered work, the special garments of Israel. They took them. They took them to their false gods. They gave themselves to all the nations. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. God said, this is what you have done is absolutely impossible. It is treachery of the highest degree. How could you? There's no question that everyone in this building is absolutely blessed to the 10th degree. Amen. Now, what have you done with what He has given you? What have you done with what the Lord God Almighty has given you?